verses 3 and 4.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you want to catch the whole show, if you're in our radio audience, what you need to do is...
This is the Body of Christ Church. Inviting you to our virtual living room, where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the whole
ministry. Right.
So sit back,
right.
Relax, and engage in conversation with us.
2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to
good
them that are
brothers and sisters, the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room, where we examine recent events as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. At this time, allow me to introduce the brothers that are with me in the living room. We have to my left, sitting in the Lazy Boy Lounger, is Brother Kazak.
Shalom, everybody. Most High Christ bless all.
Also, we have sitting in this big cushy armchair to my right, we have Yonathan.
Hello, everybody. Most High name of Christ.
And sitting across from me on the sofa with his feet up on the ottoman is Kabar.
We blinded from certain things. This is why our
history
is what? So
wrong. Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay. Shalom, brother. Is everybody comfortable?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Great, great. It's a lovely day we're having today. You know, the sunshine, blue skies out, although I understand there is like a forecast for thunderstorms today. To those listening in, you may stop by and visit us in the virtual living room to ask questions or make comments by calling 646-716-7749. Today's topic of conversation involves faith. In other words, religious persuasion. In eight days, it was common for people to have a different God for the different aspects of their lives. There were fertility gods, gods of agriculture, gods of war, sun gods, moon gods, and the list goes on. Today, it appears that very few people hold the belief in God. Most people, especially in the Middle East and Western society, claim to believe there is only one God. Now, although most people agree there is only one God, there appears to be a great disagreement on what instructions God has given to obtain eternal life. Therefore, there are many different religions. The question is why? Is there more than one path to salvation? Okay? And secondly, if there is only one path to salvation, what is that religion? And we're going to reserve those answers for later on. I'd like to go in and read to you from an article from the Associated Press, and this is from last Monday, June 23rd. It reads, America remains a nation of believers. The new survey finds most Americans don't feel their religion is the only way to eternal life, even if their faith tradition teaches otherwise. The findings, released Monday in a survey of 35,000 adults, can either be taken as a positive sign of glowing religious tolerance or disturbing evidence that Americans dismiss or don't know fundamental teachings of their own faith. Among the more startling numbers in the survey conducted last year by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, 57% of evangelical church attendees said they believe many religions can lead to eternal life in conflict with traditional evangelical teaching. In all, 70% of Americans with a religious affiliation shared that view, and 68% said there is more than one true way to interpret the teachings of their own religion. Now, Brother Kazak, you comfortable over there? You look comfortable.
I'm pretty good, thank you.
In your opinion, how do most people decide on their religion?
A lot of people decide on their religions basically through influence of their parents, what they grew up observing or watching their parents do. That's what, when upon becoming adults, that's what they in turn do. I'm not saying all, but a lot. And if even with this particular aspect in reference to the Bible, what the responsibility of parents is to teach their child the commandments. And I also like to point out, when you say religion, that word religion comes from a Latin word whose meaning is basically to hold back or to restrain. So when you're talking about religion, or when you're referring to religion, we have to be careful how we use that word, because from the onset, the Heavenly Father never gave us religion. He gave us commandments and instructions. Religion came later on. But to answer the first question, usually parents or close relatives.
Okay. All right, Yohanathan, you know, based on what Kazaki had just said, you know, shouldn't everyone remain with the religion of their parents? Isn't that the best way to go? I mean, because, you know, how are you going to go to family functions and so forth, and you're religious, you have these religious differences, and sometimes glaring differences. Isn't it best to just go ahead and remain with the religion of your parents?
No, it's not. It's better to do the right thing according to what the Lord says.
Okay. Now,
versus
according to what the Lord says.
What people feel. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now you don't. Are you suggesting then that the religion of the parent is could be wrong?
There's a possibility if it doesn't link up, their actions and deeds don't link up to what the Lord's actions and deeds command us to do, then there's a problem. And if there's a problem,
now,
you have a decision to make.
Okay. Now, don't you think that's the way that most people are going about that they are actually going about deciding on their religion by, you know, looking at the scriptures, looking at what it is that God is requiring of them, and seeking to live their lives that way? Isn't that what people are doing?
Well, no. If you look at society today, and you know, anybody who has a basic or rudimentary understanding of what the scriptures actually command, even if you want to use the Ten Commandments, and the scriptures something as basic as the Ten Commandments, it's obvious that most people aren't living their lives that way. You know, with the crime the way it is, murder, adultery. You know, most marriages ending in America. 50% of all marriages will end in divorce. A lot of that is out of adultery, stealing. You know, all of these things going on in the society we live in all over the world is evidence that people are not living their lives in any way, shape, or form according to the scriptures, according to what you read in the Bible.
Okay, now you just mentioned a whole lot of things like stealing and adultery and all those things, right? But obviously, you know, there are some people, you know, because of their particular lifestyle and the way they want to live their life, you know, maybe they believe in having an open marriage. In that case, would that actually be adultery? Because they're with a partner that doesn't mind them, you know, having sexual relations with someone else. So shouldn't they go and seek after an organization that allows that type of behavior? You know, are they okay with it? Isn't that the right thing for them to do?
Well, when we say organization, you're speaking about a religious organization like a church,
exactly.
Correct?
That's correct.
Exactly. Okay, so churches, most churches, almost every church, say they hold the faith or preach or teach what's in the Bible. Now, if we're talking about marriage, then any pastor who's going to hold a Bible will have to teach marriage according to the institution that the Lord instituted in Genesis. And in that institution, it was a man and woman under God keeping their commandments. And that was it. There was no other derivative or a different kind of way to institute marriage. It's only based on what the Lord said, as you read in Genesis.
Okay. Okay. That's fair enough. Kazaki, would you agree though that you know, if people that are involved in these type of relationships, if they actually love one another, that, you know, this is something that God will permit, because, you know, they're not, no one is jealous, no one is hating anything like that. And if they're attending a religious body that condones those activities, then wouldn't that be the appropriate place for them to go?
No, sir. I'm going to say it this way. And the Heavenly Father gave us instructions, commandments. He gave us his son as an example of how to live the commandments. You know, we can't cater ourselves, you know, we can't cater the scriptures or accept, okay, I'm okay with this. This is, I can follow this set of guidelines that the Heavenly Father established for me, but these I don't agree with, so I'm not following it. No, we have to humble ourselves wholeheartedly and follow Christ, the example, and base our lives, our lifestyles on how Christ lived and his teachings. So if it's not, if the whatever lifestyle that we're living, if it's not in line with the teachings of Christ, then we have to examine ourselves like the scriptures tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 and make the necessary changes so that we are in line with teachings of Christ so that we do reach and have that eternal life or that we do get that salvation.
Okay. Now, maybe that example that I'm giving, maybe that's a little bit too extreme to kind of get to the point that I'm trying to make here. Let me give another example that's probably not so extreme. Say, you know, you have children and you want to celebrate Halloween, okay? But the church that you're currently attending, they don't believe in celebrating Halloween. Under those circumstances, shouldn't you find a church that would allow you to celebrate Halloween? Does that make it a little clearer? That less extreme?
Okay. If I could answer that. You're saying to find a church that agree with that and allow you to do that. No, that wouldn't be the right way because no organization has the authority or the power or even the righteousness within them to say what a man can and cannot do. The Heavenly Father, he sits alone, and there's no one beside him, and he doesn't ask for anybody's thoughts or how they feel or what they should do. He says, boom, do this. Boom, do not this. So even if an organization thinks that they have the right to say, yes, you can do this, ultimately, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father and his heavenly host, which is his son and his angels, that stuff is all wrong because it's going against the words of the Heavenly Father.
I'd like to take the time to read a scripture, if I could, just right quick.
Absolutely.
Because you touched upon a point that's definitely worth emphasizing as far as the parents and in reference to religion and teaching the children. So now I'd like to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And the reason why I read this is basically to emphasize the fact, in reference to religion and parents, we have the responsibility of teaching and instructing our children. But what are we supposed to teach and instruct them in? The holidays and the customs and the practices that are promoted and celebrated in this world? No. Our responsibility is to teach and instruct our children in the ways of the commandments and the teachings of Christ.
Okay. So now... in the teachings of Christ. Okay, now, but isn't that what's happening in all of these different churches? Now, I know, you know, in synagogues, that's not happening. And not so much in mosques, okay, because there's a little bit of difference in the way Jesus is viewed. But in the churches where Jesus is viewed as the Son of God, isn't what's being taught, isn't Christ being taught? What do you think about that, Bob? You think Christ is being taught in those places?
Well, no. The great majority. Well, see, the thing is, if Christ is being taught, then you would not come to anyone in those churches where Christ is claimed to be taught would not come to the conclusion that there is any other way to salvation. Because let's just turn to a scripture. Can you go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12? Let's go there. Because, you know, reading the statistics and seeing how so many people in the churches believe that, well, there is an alternative way, and my way is not the only way, and these are the same people who will claim to be Christians. So let's see what's being taught out of the Bible and what Christians are supposed to follow. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, right, this is the Apostle Paul going and teaching, okay, apostle that Jesus Christ himself gave him this gospel to teach, and this is what he taught. Going right to the point in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's talking about being saved through the name of Christ, through his sacrifice and his resurrection and his teachings and us following his ways. So if somebody's claiming to be a Christian and they're in a Christian church and they're supposed to be a pastor teaching the Bible according to Christ, then any Christian would come to the conclusion that there is no other way. There is no other alternative. It is only salvation is only through faith in Christ, and that is it. Anybody who tries to come a different way or choose a different alternative will not receive salvation. Then Christ also said in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, that if any man, in Matthew 19 and 17, if we will enter into life, keep the commandments. Another thing that is not being taught in the churches today. So, no, if anybody who's supposed to be going to these churches in America today or anywhere else where you have a Christian church and they come to a different conclusion that there's another way other than Christ, then Christ is not being taught in that place.
Okay. All right. Now, there's got to be a little bit more to this, okay? And maybe you can bring that out through the scriptures, because let me just read another couple of excerpts from this article. It reads here, nearly across the board, the majority of religious Americans believe many religions can lead to eternal life. Mainline Protestants, 83%. Members of historic black Protestant churches, 59%. Roman Catholics, 79%. Jews, 82%. And Muslims, 56%. Now, that's a lot of people out of the United States that believe that there are many religions that can lead to eternal life. Now, you know, are you suggesting to me that all those people are wrong, or is there something that I'm overlooking, you know, in this whole picture here?
Well, yeah, all those people are wrong. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 to get the answer as to why, you know, all these people are wrong. Right, we already read that Christ and through him, his name, sacrifice, and teaching is the only way for us to receive salvation. That's what Christ taught his disciples and what his disciples taught the people. But then what happened? All right, we're going to find out what happened. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and I'll start at verse 1. All right, this is an epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy. Verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Okay? This is what has happened. This is the deception that has set in all over the world. They have turned their ears. This is Paul writing about the church and what will happen in the latter days. And what happened is that false teachers, false apostles came in, started teaching damnable heresies and doctrines of devils, and now what you have is a complete perversion of what Christ said. And people are no longer in these days and times following to the great majority what Christ wrote and what Christ said, how we're supposed to live, but they're following men and their evil imaginations. Okay? So, yes, 83%, all those statistics that you read, they're wrong, completely wrong.
Ezekiel, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
did you have a comment?
No, I was about to read something, but go ahead with your question because I believe it's going to come out anyway.
Well, maybe. My question is, you know, you got the situation, and, you know, Kabar just came straight from the scriptures, okay, so you can't deny that. All right, but you got a situation where somebody is a young man, a young woman. They're sitting in somebody's congregation, all right? They're being taught things that, you know, maybe it's the precept of a man, okay? How is it they're going to go from that point where they're being taught and believing these things these people are saying
to the point that they're actually looking in the scriptures for themselves. How do you get there? Do you have any recommendations from a scriptural point of view?
From a scriptural point of view, let's go to the book of Isaiah. I'd like to read something from Isaiah right quick. You know, a lot of our people in the different religious institutions, organizations, churches, mosques, synagogues, however you choose to term it. But the bottom line of it all is we've got the book of the Lord, and the Heavenly Father tells us in this particular scripture right here in Isaiah 34:16 what to do, so that we have to make sure that we are justified. So now in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. But the point here is the first part of the scripture, which is seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We all have the responsibility of finding the Bible and reading the Bible for ourselves. And we all and the teachings of man versus what the Bible says. If the teachings of man do not weigh or do not fall in line with what the scriptures, the Holy Father says, then that means there has to be a change. And which a young man or a young woman that's sitting in a congregation and they're being taught these precepts, they have the responsibility of filtering these precepts or whatever they're being taught in that congregation through the Bible. And if it's not lining up with what the Lord says in the scriptures, if it's not lining up with the teachings of Christ, then it's time for that young man or that young woman to leave that congregation, because they're not being taught according to the Spirit of Christ.
Okay. All right, let me just say to those listening in, you may stop by and visit us in the virtual living room to ask questions or make comments by calling 646-716-7749. I want to read just a little bit more from this article to you. This part kind of has to deal with, a little bit more about the way people believe. It says, some Christians hold strongly to Jesus' words as described in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Others emphasize the wideness of God's grace. The Catholic Church teaches that the one Church of Christ subsists in the Catholic Church alone, and that the Protestant churches, while defective, can be instruments of salvation. So this seems to suggest that the Catholic Church is the way, and that the other churches, they can be instruments of salvation. Now, Yuwanathan, how would you respond to that?
Other churches, they're the way, and the other churches are instruments of salvation. Well, first you have to define and understand what salvation is. Now, Luke, the first chapter, I'm just going to go right to the point. Chapter 1 in Luke, verse 60, let me get this, 67, I believe that is it. Let's see. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Okay, so now this is on the birth of John the Baptist. Just quick insight. John the Baptist's father was Zacharias, and the Lord cast him to be mute. He was not able to speak until it was the time of his son's birth. So now on the time they asked him what they was going to name his son, he spoke, and also at that time he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, according to the scriptures, he was going into something. He wasn't dancing and shouting, but we're going to see what he said according to the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Okay, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So at that time he praised the Lord and said, blessed the Lord, so he gave us a horn of salvation. through the promises that he gave to our forefathers, the children of Israel. And that horn of salvation will come through the lineage of David. And that was the Christ. And not only that, it said, since the world began. So according to the Heavenly Father, the salvation was to redeem the children of Israel, whom he scattered throughout all the nations all over the world, because we forsook his covenant, his law, statutes, and commandments. Okay, so that number one, that defines what salvation is, according to what the Lord stated salvation would be. So now with that understanding, is there another path to salvation? No, because the Heavenly Father, once again, he's on high, he sits by himself, all answer to him. And he dictates and he prescribes what shall be done for us to get salvation. He said, hear ye him, the Son Christ, repentance, do the things that he said. So is there another way? No. And is that, if any church, Catholic Church, all other churches, if they're saying other ways of salvation, no. You have to go by what the Scripture said and cease to hear the words that have caused you to err from what the Lord said. I'm finished.
Okay. Now, just help me be real clear on this, Kabar. Now, what is the Scripture saying that would be against the Catholic Church having a path to salvation, or any other church, for that matter?
Well, you know what? It'll go into what Christ taught, right? So anywhere you go, you weigh things and filter things according to the words of Christ. If we say we're Christians or we follow Christ, all right, then we're supposed to filter everything through the words of Christ. And Christ said what? You shall know them by their fruits. All right, so what is the Catholic Church teaching? Do they teach repentance through Christ and keeping of the commandments in the Bible? Okay, let's just take one commandment, all right, out of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, which is the keeping of the Sabbath. It is that same Catholic Church that on their own decided that the day of the Lord's rest should be changed from the seventh day to the first day, all right, and that Sunday should now be the day, the first day, instead of the seventh. Okay, now if you're in those churches and you see those things happening, all right, and you see the doctrines being taught and they're not lining up with the Scriptures, then you know that place cannot be a path to salvation. And give you one clear Scripture, one Scripture that help you filter out 99% of all of the madness going on in the world. Okay, almost when you go into Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Okay, this is the ultimate filtering system. So you can not be taken by every wind of doctrine, that you'll be grounded and settled, living according to this Scripture. Isaiah 8 and 20, it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the Catholic Church leading people in a direction contrary to the Scriptures, speaking against the Sabbath day, speaking against what Christ taught, saying there's other ways that any other church can be an avenue to salvation, all of that is against the law and the testimony. And anybody sitting in those churches hearing these things has to come to the conclusion that there is no light in them. And from that point, they must depart and be and seek the Lord. And Christ said, if you seek me, then he'll make his abode with you and sup with you and you with him. For everyone truly seeking salvation, okay? But this Scripture tells you how to filter everything out. And if it's not according to the law and the testimony, and that testimony is Jesus Christ, the testimony of the whole Bible, Jesus Christ, when you read in John chapter 5, verse 39, when he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the law and the testimony is not being taught, therefore is not a path to salvation.
Okay. All right, Kazaki, you look like you wanted to say something.
Oh, I'm right here with you. The only thing I'd like to say, basically, you read a whole lot of statistics of persons with their opinions and things of that nature as to what paths lead to eternal life. But the only thing I'd like to read is Matthew 7 and 13. And these are the words of Christ. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life,
and few there be that find it. So a lot of churches, organizations, or however you choose to call it, they say that there's this path and this path and this path and this path, which leads to eternal life. But according to Christ, in Matthew 7, 13, or 14, we're supposed to enter in at the straight gate. Christ is that straight gate. So in other words, the only path that leads to salvation is Christ. That means repentance and following his teachings, following his examples. When you do that, there is no religion.
Okay? Look, I've got a question for you, Juanathan. And Juanathan, my question for you, which I don't want you to answer right now, is what does it mean, repentance? What does that mean? You know, on that path to salvation, what does it mean to repent? But before you get to that answer, Juanathan, I want to read another little blurb here from this article. It reads, it shows increased religious security. People are comfortable with other traditions, even if they are different, said the Reverend C. Welton Gaddy, president of the Interfaith Alliance. It indicates a level of humility about religion that would be of great benefit to everyone. More than most groups, Catholics break with their church, and not just on issues like abortion and homosexuality. Only 6 in 10 Catholics describe God as a person with whom people can have a relationship, which the church teaches, while 3 in 10 describe God as an impersonal force. Okay, you want to say, if you would go ahead and address that question regarding repentance, Kazaki was speaking about repentance. What does that mean for someone to repent on that path to salvation?
Okay, for someone to repent, it means, well, I'm going to go to what the scriptures say repentance is. I'm going to go back to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse, if I can get it. Ezekiel chapter 14, and it reads verse 6. It says, yes, Ezekiel 14 and 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. So what repentance is this, is defined as in the scriptures, is from us to turn away from our abominations. Okay, what are abominations? The things that the Lord commanded us not to do. All those things are abominable to him. Sin is sin in the sight of the Lord, which is breaking of his commandments. So if we're, and the only way that we can find out that we're breaking his commandments is by reading. Like we said earlier, seek out the book of the Lord and read. And what the Lord commanded us to do and what he commanded us not to do. We have to get in line with that. And by us repenting, what repentance is we acknowledge and we're learning the law, statutes, of commandments through Christ. Okay, now you come across a commandment that you see, hey, I'm not doing this, but the Lord has commanded us to do this. Okay, repentance is this. You seeing that, and you putting it in, you making a conscious effort, okay, a love in your heart, the spirit of Christ in your heart growing in you to say, I want to follow what Christ commanded us to do, then I'm going to do that. So now by you saying, I'm going to stop doing this and start beginning to do the will of the Heavenly Father through his Son Christ, that's repentance, right? That moment, when you begin to change, when you acknowledge that you are, that the works that you're doing are wicked, and you're learning the righteous ways, and you begin to implement and start doing those things, that's repentance.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think that's pretty clear. You know, you basically turn away from things that you were doing wrong and just correcting your behavior.
Right.
Okay. All right. Kabar.
Yes.
Based on what Juanathan said, you know, and maybe not so much on what he said just now about repentance, but, you know, obviously in repenting, I guess, you start to gravitate toward some of the better characteristics of being righteous and holy and so forth, in regard to just being basically good-natured, humble, being meek and kind and gentle and all those things, right? Would you agree with that? That would be the case?
That's the case.
Okay. Now, if someone is taking on those characteristics, and although say they may be in the Catholic Church, for example,
okay, or any other church, or in a mosque, or in a synagogue, but they have those characteristics of humility and meekness. They're good-natured, they're kind, they give you the shirt off their back, okay? Now, shouldn't those people, you know, although that, you know, maybe they're not following the commandments exactly explicitly the way it's structured in the scriptures, shouldn't they have salvation, eternal life?
Well, the thing is that, number one, you know, all these things have to be defined according to the scriptures, like humility, all right? A lot of times, humility is misunderstood for a personality trait, all right? A person who may speak softly, may hold their head down, that's a personality trait, but that is not humility. Humility is like the example given in the scripture about Moses. He was the most humble man in all the earth, okay, the most meek man in all the earth, meaning he reverenced and obeyed the words of God and his commandments above all other things. That is humility. Okay, that's the definition of humility. Now, if a person reverences and esteems the word of the Most High, the word of God and Christ over all other things, then they're going to bring their selves, their lives, their thoughts, like the scripture says, bring all their thoughts into the captivity of Christ and humble down to the scriptures. That is what humility is. So it's always the scriptures defining what we are supposed to do and follow. Okay? And once you begin to get a clear grasp on what that means according to the word of the Lord, it's going to eliminate the options of a whole bunch of religions and denominations, which the Most High, which Christ never gave us. It was only a way of life. That's what Christ gave us. That way of life was, if you were intent to life, keep the commandments. Those commandments are to be kept through his example, as you read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. So all these options, once you begin to apply the scriptures, are eliminated.
Wow. You want to tell, you have anything to say to that?
Matthew 12:33. And it reads, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. These are the words of Jesus Christ here, Son of the Most High. And right there, Christ laid it right out. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, meaning either you do, the tree is the man. The fruit is your works, what you produce and the actions that you do. So he says, either make the man, either make his actions good, or either make the actions of that man, the actions, the things that he do, make it corrupt. Okay, it's no gray area, it's no straddling the fence, as they say, with Christ. The words of Christ is plain. He said, either you do my will or you don't do my will. It's no, well, I'm half, for example, I'm meek and I'm this. Well, you can be meek and whatever. You can still be a thief. You can still be a murderer. You can still be someone that hate your brother. You can still be a sodomite and be nice to everybody. But Christ said, do the works. And he said, make the tree good and the actions good. That means all the actions. So that's okay. Repentance across the whole board, doing what he says.
Okay. Well, Kazakia, would you agree that it's possible for someone to be doing all those actions, but say be in a congregation where the church may have a doctrine, a part of the doctrine, maybe just one aspect of the doctrine that is not in agreement with the scriptures, but this person is in their congregation, they are doing it all. They're giving money. They're not killing anybody. They would never steal. They are, truly humble. You know, they are seeking to be obedient to the scriptures. They're reading the scriptures and seeking to be obedient with the scriptures. A person like that, shouldn't they get eternal life? No, even if they're in the wrong, I hesitate to say the wrong church, but they're in the church, you know, that obviously. Things that are being taught don't completely line up with what's in the scriptures.
Okay. Wow, that's a good one right there. I mean, a person that's in a congregation, and they may be receiving one part of the doctrine. You have to receive the whole doctrine. And I would like to read what Christ said about that.
for those particular congregations. In Matthew chapter 15, right, where it says, where Christ says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So a lot of these churches, and even for that person that's in this church, this in a particular church that's not receiving part, wow, that's only teaching one part of the doctrine, you've got to receive the whole doctrine. And that whole doctrine is the teaching of Christ. Now,
read that again. It said, in, what did it say, in vain?
Oh, yeah.
But
in verse 9, chapter, excuse me, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, "But in vain, worthless, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And that's what's happening in a lot of churches. These churches are more focused on teaching their commandments or their precepts, their beliefs as commandments, instead of the teachings of Christ written in the Bible, some in red letters, some in black letters. But lots of churches are more concerned with teaching their doctrines as the word of life or the doctrine of life or the words that will gain a person salvation, instead of what Christ already spoke upon and taught and edified in the scriptures.
Now, I tell you, that's kind of heavy there, because, you know, there's bound to be a lot of churches out there that have some doctrines that are not completely in line with the scriptures. Kabar, you know, why are there so many people that are dealing like that? They are out here in these churches, and they're dealing with these churches that have these doctrines that are not lining up with the scriptures.
You know, this is going back to the scripture that was read earlier, all right, about 2 Timothy 3:4-3, about, you know, they seeking out ministers or teachers having itching ears, right? This is what the people sought out because they didn't want to obey Christ. Okay, so because of those itching ears, you have this proliferation of all of these denominations. But was it supposed to be that way? I mean, Baptist, Pentecostal, AME, all of these different denominations. Did Christ want that for his church? Was that supposed to be set up and established denominations in his church? Did you have examples of that in the past? You did. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 10 and read on down. All right? And this is going into the establishment of Christ's church and how it's supposed to be. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, "Now beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's how the church is supposed to be established. The teachings of Christ as he spoke them, the end. Not somebody's adding on or somebody's taking away. It was just what Christ taught, and then we apply that, or we get the understanding on how we apply that according to the scriptures. All right? And then it says, here you go, jump down to verse 12. It says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So even back then, almost 2,000 years ago, you had people trying to set up in ancient times what we now call denominations. Well, I follow the teachings or the persuasions of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Apollos taught us. Well, Caiaphas taught us. You know, all these divisions, and Paul is establishing, listen, there's no division in Christ. With Paul and Caiaphas, and I'm teaching, being Paul, we're all teaching the same thing, repentance through Christ, that's the end, okay? The people, you see, the people wanted to set up division, okay? But the apostles and the Spirit of Christ was making sure that didn't happen. And so what did they do? They left the apostles and the teachings that they received, that Christ set up through them, and they went to find somewhere where they can have these divisions, so that they can fulfill their own lust. That's why that happened. But no, there aren't supposed to be any denominations or any divisions. And those who truly seek Christ is going to be able to come into that true understanding how to live their life according to Christ. That will happen.
So it sounds like what you're suggesting here is that these divisions amongst the churches began that long ago, when Paul was still alive and writing.
Exactly. It began that long ago, and as a matter of fact, before Paul's days are ending, he was already seeing the disintegration of the church because doctrines of devils were creeping in, wolves in sheep's clothing was coming into the church. He was already seeing that disintegration of the church happening at the time. That's why he gave Timothy the instruction that he gave them. So, I mean, everything is in the hands of the Lord, and the Lord is going to guide everything. But it just shows you the evil in the minds of the people and how they seek out these denominations and these preachers so that they can fulfill their own lust. But it was not supposed to be that way. The teachers of Christ teach against it. It's not supposed to be these denominations and division. It's all supposed to come into the unity of the bonds of Christ, and that's it.
Wow. Okay. So now, obviously, you know, everything has to go through Christ, okay? And you've done a very good job of pointing out, you know, the reason why you have these divisions, all right? Now the question is about eternal life, about salvation, right? Because the divisions are here. Obviously, it's here, and obviously you have people in all different churches. Now, let's just for the sake of argument, let's just assume there are some good people in every religion, whether it's Christian, Islam, whether it's Judaism, whatever it is. In every religion, there are some legitimately good people. If a good person chooses the wrong religion, okay, they are off the path that the scriptures tell you they need to be on. God is forgiving God. Won't God forgive them for that mistake? And anybody can jump in and answer that.
Here it is again. I'd like to read next. First of all, let's we have to deal with that word good. We have to be very careful about how we use that word good. I mean, it's almost commonplace. But I'd like to take just one moment to see what Christ says.
Okay.
And then I'm going to deal with the main point of that question, in which Christ said it. He says, in Matthew 19, and he was responding to the young man, and what he said was, these are the words of Christ in Matthew 19, verse 17, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So the point here is, the one person who is truly good, Christ acknowledged it himself, is the Heavenly Father. Now, also dealing with that are just the commandments themselves. And Romans, I'll read it just right quick, Romans the 7th chapter and verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." So the goodness all comes from the following of the commandments, now through the example of Christ. Now, you have some decent people out there, and if they're caught up in a whole lot of different religions, caught up in man's philosophies or doctrines of man instead of the teachings of Christ, this is what they have to do. If they truly want to be good people, or if they truly want to have or attain salvation, eternal life, this is what they have to do. Obtain salvation or eternal life. Acts 17 and verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So now, while our people are in these different religions, following philosophies, the Heavenly Father is having mercy right now. But as we read on in the scripture, where it says, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." This is an order from the Lord. If our people are in Catholics, Baptists, Jehovah's Witnesses, AME, CME, AME, Zion, Pentecostal, Calvinist, Lutheranism, whatever religion you can think of, if they're into that, the Heavenly Father is saying, you are commanded to repent. You receive a mercy now, but now is also the time for you to repent. Acknowledge what you're doing is wrong. Acknowledge that these religions, basically, they're not really promoting the Heavenly Father. They're promoting the doctrines of man, like we read in Matthew 15:8. Stop that. Come back and serve the Lord. Come back and follow his son Christ, whom he said for us to follow in Matthew 17:5 and verse 6.
But how you know, the average person sitting in a congregation, in any church, synagogue, or mosque, how's the average person supposed to be able to figure this out? I mean, because, you know, you got people residing over this. They studied for years and years and years, and obviously they don't know the right thing. How can you expect the average person to come up with the right thing?
Okay, Jeremiah 3, verse 14. I'd like to read this, 14 and 15. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. So now, this is nothing new. The Lord has been telling us to repent since the Old Testament, but I'll keep reading.
Okay.
Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now, the point is in verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with understanding. So the point is, if a person is truly seeking to serve the Lord, truly seeking salvation, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read Isaiah 34 and 16. Also in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my heart. The Most High will deal with that person and put that person on the path that they will be fed by pastors who are teaching out of the scriptures as it is written. And also 1 Peter 5:2, which is the responsibility of men, of pastors, of teachers of God's word. 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Okay. All right, very good. Looks like we have a guest. Give us your name and go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. My name is Ms. Nadine. And I just wanted to say that I found myself in a situation that I didn't know where to go, to the Catholic Church, to all kind of different churches. And I know I said to myself, it's like, you know, I don't know where you are, Most High. I don't know you. You know, and I prayed. And I prayed because I kept going to different churches looking for him, and they teach different things. So I was like, where are you? I don't know you. And I prayed, you know, and so I came to the Bible. I opened my Bible, and I started reading. And he led me to the right place. So I just say, pray. This is the time to pray. Pray to find the Most High and Christ. And that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much, Mercedes. Thanks
You're
for,
welcome.
Thanks for coming in for a visit.
Thank
All
you.
Anybody want to comment on Mercedes' comment there?
I'd like to read Psalms 20. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent point because a lot of people find themselves in that same situation. And see, the major thing about it is that we cannot overlook or underestimate the fact that the most that God and Christ is guiding this entire process, that the saints are chosen before the foundation of the earth. So this sister that just called in fell exactly into this situation when you read in John chapter 10 and verse 27. This was her situation. John chapter 10 and verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, so Christ's true sheep is going to be seeking after the true understanding and application of the Bible and the scriptures, not what people are saying. Because obviously if people are searching, they're recognizing that what they're being taught is not lining up with what's actually said in the Bible. Okay, and as Christ's sheep begin to seek after him, he's going to guide them to where they need to be and give them the understanding that they need to have so that they can receive salvation.
And that's the main point that we can't overlook. Because like in 2 Timothy, when you read in 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So as those true sheep seek out their pastor, who is Christ, all right, the bishop of our souls, as they seek out Christ, they're going to continue to do what? Depart from iniquity. As they continue to do that, wherever they are and whatever situation they're in, continuing to seek out God and Christ and application of the scriptures, they're going to come to that place where they meet Christ and where they are being fed the understanding that they may receive salvation. So we can't overlook that God and Christ is guiding this entire process.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you very much, brother. Yohanathan, we have this first time left. Any parting words?
Yes. Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it reads, if I can get it. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So the things that the Heavenly Father recorded in the scriptures was for us to look upon, ponder upon, and to use that in our lives today. Because the scriptures tell you also that there's new thing under the sun. And since the time when Noah built that ark, everybody knew there was one God. But what did they do? Built the tower to the Lord. And then the Lord had to bring them down because of that wickedness. And then later on you find out the Lord chose our forefather Abraham because he kept the law, statutes, and commandments of the Lord, though his father Terah did not. And then you go further into what King Solomon, all of his wisdom, he started doing what the Lord, he was faithful to the Lord, but then once he got older, he forsook the Lord. And the same as us, as the children of Israel, we did the same thing.
Okay.
And even in the Acts, like how when Paul was up there on the Mount of Mars. So the thing is, those
right.
things of people are saying there's many gods, they're there. But
okay.
the thing is, the scriptures gives us an example of, hey, don't give heed to that. So that
all
was
right, very good, brother. Thank you so much. That's about all the time we have for today. Really appreciate everybody listening in and calling in. Hope that you were edified. All praises to the Most High. Thank you, brothers, for joining me here today in the virtual living room.
All praise. Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.